Welcome to this AAT podcast in the Employment Taxes series, the first one covering Pay-as-You and Settlement Agreements, or PSAs, where I will explain what a PSA is and how it may help your employer or your client. Then I will go on to discuss the taxable expenses and or benefits in kind that might be included in a PSA and explain why. In the final podcast, I will talk you through the process of gathering the information on expenses and benefits to be included in a PSA, and talk through how to put together the computations and calculate the PSA liability. HMRC's website includes some useful guidance on PSAs under the heading of schemes that help reduce your paperwork. You can find this from the homepage by clicking on Expenses / Benefits in the blue employers box towards the top of the page. HMRC tells us that we can cut out end-of-year reporting for minor, irregular, and hard-to-value expenses and benefits. Add in that with a PSA, you just pay the tax on NICs, which may be an option for some employers. The first topic covered under the heading of reducing your paperwork is dispensations, and I have previously touched on the subject of applying for a PLMD dispensation to exclude some specific expense items or benefits in kind from the end-of-year reporting process, but that was in the PLMD podcast, which you can always listen to again. Whenever I look at how to ease the compliance burden, I will always refer to PLMD dispensations as the tool for excluding non-taxable or tax-deductible items, whereas a PSA is the tool that we can use for excluding certain taxable items from the end-of-year PAYE and or PLMD reporting process. We must remember that applying for a PLMD dispensation involves little cost to the employer, other than perhaps the postage cost for a postal application, and perhaps some professional fees if advice is sought or an advisor is used to make the application. We should remember that nowadays we can do a PLMD dispensation application online. In contrast, there is a cost that has to be considered when including any taxable expenses or benefits in a PSA, because this means that the employer has decided to pick up the bill for the income tax liability and any national insurance contributions liability that has to be paid by someone. The cost to the employer may be more than at first expected because the income tax liability has to be grossed up, effectively charging tax on the tax paid by the employer, which is, after all, another benefit to be enjoyed by the employees or directors. Let us consider the following example. A taxable staff meal that costs £100 at the restaurant would result in an income tax bill of £20 for a basic rate paying employee. When the employer pays that bill, the tax is grossed up, and Class 1B NIC has to be paid on both the benefit in kind and on the income tax paid. The cost then becomes £141, which is made up of £100 for the meal and £41 for the cost of the grossed up income tax, plus Class 1B national insurance contributions. It gets more expensive if the employee or director is a 40% or higher rate taxpayer, because the income tax bill would then be £40, and grossing this up increases the tax cost to £66.66. And then when we add Class 1B NICs on the benefit and on the tax paid, the cost becomes £189.66, which is £100 for the meal, and £89.66 for the cost of the grossed up income tax and NICs. But wait a minute, it becomes a lot more expensive if the employee or director is liable to income tax at the new additional rate of 50%. The income tax due on the £100 meal would be £50 if paid by the employee, but this actually doubles to £100 if the employer pays because of the grossing up. And then the cost increases to £227.60 once the Class 1B NIC cost is added. So look at that, £100 for the meal and as much as £127.60 for the tax and NICs involved. The true cost can come as a bit of a shock, and I always ask clients how much was included in the budget for such costs. Now, whilst that example may turn you off the idea of using a PSA, let us not forget that it may be more expensive if the benefit is instead reported on someone's P11D. And here, let me offer you another example to demonstrate this. This is an actual example where I had experience with a client last year. The company had a celebration for the directors and employees after winning a new order. And the £1,000 cost of the celebration was reported on the P11D of the director. He paid tax of £400 on that benefit in kind. The company paid £138 Class 1A NI contributions, but also paid the director a bonus of £690 to compensate the director for the tax of £400 that he'd paid. £690 less 40% tax and 2% Class 1 employees NIC left him with a net receipt of £400. The company also paid £95.22 employers secondary Class 1 NICs on the £690 bonus. This shows that the total tax on NICs paid on the £1,000 party cost was £1,323. In reality, if the cost had been included in a PSA, the tax rate would not have been 40%, because it would have been apportioned between the employees taxed at 20% basic rate and the one director who was taxed at 40%. Just as an example, if, say, 3/4 of the cost related to basic rate taxpayers and 1/4 of the cost related to higher rate taxpayers, then the tax on NIC's cost would have been only £540 compared to the £1,323 for the P11D benefit and pay adjustment that my client actually used. So the PSA would have been cheaper.